Steve is gone tonight, obviously. He's down in Machias right now. Aaron asked him to come and speak down there, so he's down there, and he asked me to come and fill in for him. And I don't know if you guys have had this happen before to you, but I really had this strong impression when I came. I was driving to here to come to church, and I was driving past Steve's house, and I was looking at all the construction that was happening there, and the Lord really spoke to me, and turned to Haggai chapter 1. I hadn't even planned on going here, but flip over to Haggai chapter 1. It's on page 965. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. If you go a couple books over from that, you'll find Haggai right between Zephaniah and Zechariah, the two Z's. And I was reading, and I'm like, wow, this really spoke to me, and I think the Lord really wanted me to share this with Steve too, because I know he's going to be listening to this. And in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and hid this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." If you skip over to, he continues to go on there and explain a little bit, and then into verse 9. "And you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, did I not blow upon it? Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because mine house is waste, and you run every man unto his own house." I really thought that I really needed to share that with Steve, since, he's spending all this time building his huge house and building bigger barns, and the Lord's house lay waste. Maybe that wasn't from the Lord, but maybe the Lord could speak to Steve through that. So, but I got to be careful though, because I know that he has the mic a lot more often than I do. So I just had to make mention of that. You take it as you will. So anyway, okay. But we're going to be in John chapter 13 this evening. On a little bit more serious note, in this particular passage in John, the Lord's been beating me up on this for a couple weeks and really busting me. So I thought I would share it with everybody else. It's always good to, it's kind of like when you smell something that stinks real bad, and you go, "Hey, come, hey, check this out. Smell this. It's horrible. It stinks like crazy. Smell this." Yeah. Anyway, no, it's not quite the same as that. But anyway, you get the point. It's cool though. It's cool, and it's tough to swallow, and it's good. Anyway, let's start. John chapter 13, verse 1. "Now therefore the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after he had poured water into a basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh unto him Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter answered and saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down, and he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is him that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So here we have Jesus with his disciples. This was before the Feast of Passover. And he was eating supper with his disciples and spending time with them and loving on them like he was accustomed to doing. And he gives them this example of foot washing. So, Al, would you bring in the buckets of water? Yeah, look at all you. Yeah, no, we're not going to really do. No, it's just kidding. No, as far as feet washing and foot washing, I know that, you know, in some circles, I mean, you know, people will do that. Jesus said here, hey, I'm giving you an example. But I think we'll see as we go through, he's trying to paint a picture for his disciples and for the guys that are with him. It says, now therefore, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all power into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, you see this at the end of supper. He gets done, and Jesus, the disciples don't really realize it, don't know. I mean, and, you know, we have the benefit of knowing who he is, but at this point, Jesus knows who he is. He knows where he's come from and where he's going. In verse 3, he knows that the Father had given all things into his hands. He'd come from God. He was going to go to God. He had all power. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that, you know, eventually every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And, you know, he knew where he came from. You know, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And by him was everything made, and there was not anything made. Without him was not anything made that was made. And so he was there in the beginning. And remember when they were in the garden, and Peter is ready for a fight, and goes and starts wielding the sword, and Jesus is like, Peter, put that away. Put that away. Don't you know that I could call down 12 legions of angels to come and fight for me at any time I want? They're right at my command. So you have this, you know, he had all power and all authority. There's nobody greater. There's no master. There's no leader. There's no ruler. There's no person. There's no one greater than him. And what does he do with that power and authority? He takes and girds himself with a towel. And after, in verse 5, after he poureth water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, the disciples obviously don't really know what's going on here. I'm sure, you know, that they were like, well, wait a minute, what are you doing? And we know that in those times, you know, the washing of feet or the foot washing was a courtesy to guests. You know, if you had servants in your house, then you would when your guests came over to eat, excuse me, they would wash your feet. It was the job of the lowest servant in the house to wash feet. So Jesus girds himself with a towel and gets down and starts washing these guys' feet. And you know, I think of think of myself. If I was sitting there, what would I do? You know, if Jesus came, I mean, put yourself in that situation. You're sitting there at the table, and you get done eating and whatever, and you know, Jesus is the master. He's the Lord. They refer to him as Lord, and he gets down and starts washing their feet and doing this humble job that shows crazy humility. And you know, it's kind of like with John the Baptist. Remember when John was baptizing in the river, and he was baptizing in the Jordan River, and Jesus came to him and walked up, and as John's baptizing people, and Jesus comes up, and John recognizes who he is, says, "You need to baptize me. I need to be baptized of you. I can't baptize you." You know, I think of that myself. I put myself in that spot. And if I was baptizing people, and Jesus came up to me, I can't baptize you. What are you talking about? I mean, and to think even there at the supper, at that gathering with his disciples, to have Jesus come and wash my feet, I'd be like, what are you doing? You shouldn't do that. I don't want you to do that. It's just kind of weird to think about. But he goes through, and it doesn't mention here. John doesn't record, what the disciples are thinking or what they're doing or what they're, except for Peter. Of course, Peter's always has something to say. In verse 6, then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" You know, of course, Peter has to, Peter has to make a statement there. I don't know if he was the last one in the line or where he was in the progression, but I know Steve has mentioned before. Peter's like, "Hey, I know he's testing us." Hey, remember when he said, "Beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees," and he wasn't really talking about bread; he was talking about hypocrisy. This is another test, and these guys are all failing. They're blowing it. Hey, you're not going to wash my feet. You're the Lord. We should be washing your feet. That's the way that it should be. But I can relate to Peter, because I think even. In that case, I'd be kind of the same way, and so Jesus is coming along, gets ready to wash Peter's feet, and Peter's like, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And so Jesus answered and said to him, verse 7, "What I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." So okay, Peter, just bear with me. Bear with me, and you'll get the picture here in just a second. And Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And I can see Jesus kind of rolling his eyes, like, "Peter, come on. If I don't wash your feet, you can't have any part with me." And I can see the other disciples going, "You get that one wrong too." And so Peter does some backpedaling here, and Peter backpedals a little bit, and he's like, "Well," he's like, "Lord, not my feet only. I mean, not only my feet, but my head and my hands too. That's what I meant. I meant, everything. Hands, feet, head, everything, right? I mean, is that... Hey, that's what I meant. You misunderstood." And Jesus saith unto him in verse 10, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he's clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." He's like, "Oh, Peter, you're missing the point." In verse 11, he says, "For he knew who should betray him." He talked about you're all clean. All I need to do is wash your feet, okay, Peter? I just need to wash your feet. I'm just trying to make a point. But he said, you're not all clean, because he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. And that's probably, you know, out of all of this, is probably one of the more amazing parts. Not that Jesus actually washed the feet of the disciples, or but to me, whose feet did he wash there? There were 12 guys there that he washed their feet, and one of those guys was his name was Judas. He even washed Judas's feet. Back in verse two, just so that you say, well, did we really know that? Did Judas really know, or did Jesus really know that Judas was going to betray him at that point? I mean, of course, Jesus knew. But back in verse two, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Judas already had the plan in his mind. He had it all thought out, and Satan had entered into Judas, and Jesus washed his feet, which is hard to understand. But again, Jesus did this for an example for us. And verse 12, he goes on and says, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he was sat down again, and he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? And I'm surprised at this point. Do you know what I've done for you? And obviously they didn't. That's why and he'll explain here. But I'm surprised that Peter didn't say, yeah, you washed our feet. Being Peter, but he didn't. He kept quiet this time. It was one of the rare occasions. So note that in your Bible in the margin. Peter didn't say anything. John chapter 13 verse 13. He says, he's going to explain it to him. You know what I've done to you? Well, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am, because I am your Master. I am your Lord. But if I then, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And we're not going to talk about the actual washing, foot washing. And I know a couple weeks ago Steve elaborated on it a little bit, and but what does that look like for us? What does that look like? What does foot washing look like to us? Or for me, even, what am I supposed to do? How does that relate to me? What do I do with that? Jesus has given us that example, given me that example, and what it really means is that I need to humble myself. Need to take a position of humility, not seek after look big in people's eyes, or look spiritual or whatever, beyond what I am. It means to deny myself. It's just not looking at what my needs are or what my comfort is like at the time. If you look at what Jesus did, he laid down his pride. I need to lay down my pride. I need to be not too good. I need to be not too good to wash feet and to get dirty and to get messy and put aside my needs. And when I put my needs aside, I put others' needs first. And for me, I think about that just in my small ministry that I have in my home, with my wife, with my kids, that I need to put their needs first. And it's funny too when I sometimes when I come home, you know, come home from work and worked a long day, and I just kind of want to come home and have some, you know, mental downtime, because my job is not, you know, overly physical all the time. It's mental. I'm always thinking, always using my head, always using my mind, and you know, so sometimes I want to come home and I just want to not think about anything in particular and just kind of relax and not have too much you know, stimulation. And that's rare to come home like that and have not a lot of stimulation in the house. So there's always daddy, you know. And so it's but I find that the toughest times are when I come home and I already have things that I want to do and that I want to get done. And I say, okay, I want to go home and tie a fly, or I want to go home and do something that I want to do. I want to go home and clean the garage, or, you know, do something, you know, mindless activity. And I find that that's usually the time when there's all kinds of commotion and all kinds of needs, and the kids have been flipping out all day, and my wife's at the end of her rope, and I come, and then I, of course, I'm frustrated because I want to go and do it. Man, quiet down, you know, everybody just quiet down. And I'm like, oh, you know, man, why do I have to be like this? Oh, I don't know. You know, and the kids are like, oh, you know, and I was like, oh, man, stupid, idiot. And so, okay, tomorrow I'm going to come home. And it's amazing when you come home and you say, okay, I'm going to drive into the driveway, and I'm going to have nothing to do. I'm going to have nothing on my – I'm come in there, and I've got nothing. And, you know, the first person that has something to do, Daddy, will you come over and play Transformers? All right, let's go. And I drive and play Transformers. Daddy, want to go outside and play on the swing set? Okay, let's go. And go and whatever, and I'm like, this is great. Man, this is awesome. And Jesus is showing us, and we'll get into it, but that's the way to be. You know, there's so much more joy, there's so much more, you know, fulfillment, pleasure there, serving yourself. I mean, you know, it seems nice. The grass is always greener on the other side. Oh man, if I could just have that thing. Oh, if I could just get my garage clean. Oh, if I could just mow the lawn. Oh man, wow, I could relax. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff to do. So, man, if I, you know, spend time with my kids, spend time with my wife, that's where the true happiness is. Putting other people first, putting others' needs first. Another thing is laboring for nothing in return. Ooh, man. Oh. And that's you know, denying yourself. That's putting other people first. You go in and helping somebody that you know. It's pretty easy to go and help people that you like. You know, you go help your friends and, you know, do whatever. And, you know, wow, they'll be blessed. I know they'll, you know, and whatever. And you go and you help somebody and whatever. But try going and helping somebody that can't pay back, that can't, you know, ever return the favor. All right. Well, I don't know if there'll ever be any fruit from that, or what, you know, whatever. Well, you know, the Lord will see that, and He will repay. Another thing was, and these were just some of the things that the Lord laid on my heart with, you know, things what feet washing, you know, foot washing looks like, or, you know. But serving when I'm tired and I don't feel like it. Oh man, I come home and I'm tired, I'm beat. I just want to lay down. I just want to pass out. And Daddy, will you read this book? Oh, man, reading a book, it's gonna put me right to sleep. And I'm like, no, okay, all right, I'm gonna read it. You know, and I'm reading, and I'm trying to concentrate. You know, and the kids are falling asleep, and I'm falling asleep, and but it's tough. And you know, try to get the kids to bed at a decent time. You know, I try to, you know, if we don't get the kids to bed by 8 o'clock, then you know we don't have a lot of time to spend together because I get up so early, and so I'm no good at the end of the night. I know Steve can stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's fine with that. He doesn't get up until 10, 11 o'clock. I don't know, but I can't do that. And so, you know, I get up at 4:30, and by in the evening, you know, I'm toast. It, 9 o'clock at night, is, I'm starting to fade fast. 10 o'clock at night, I'm no good for anything except for holding the bed down. And so, you know, I try to get the kids into bed around 8 o'clock or so, and I'm tired, and they're like, "I want a drink of water." Okay, I'll go get a drink. "Where's my blanket? I want the soft blankie." Daddy, can you get the bear with the red bow on it? Okay, here it is. No, the big one with the red. Just go to bed. Just get in bed. Just get under the covers and lay there. Okay, just get in bed. Well, I need to go ask mommy for the. No, get in bed. It's night times. We do this every day. It's 8 o'clock every day. We go to bed every day. You know the routine. So now, you know, I try to anticipate all the needs. So I go in there, and when they're brushing their teeth and going potty, I go and I grab the blankie, put that in the bed. I make the bed, so it's all made. Blankie in there, water right beside the bed, water up on the you know, because they're in bunk beds. And Caleb, he doesn't care if the bed's made or not. He just crawls up in there and goes to sleep. And Isabel, the bed has to be made. All three blankets, they have to be laid down right. So that's all laid down. Every stuffed animal that's in the room is on her bed. So okay, no stuffed animal. Hey, we're all set. And she'll come up with something. "Daddy, I want juice." "No, get in bed. You're gonna have water. You just brushed your teeth." So, and sometimes they get wild, and I like to they have fun. And I like to give them piggyback rides to bed, you know, and one at a time. They like it when I do two at a time, but it gets them too wild, too riled up. So one at a time, and put them into bed. And but even that gets them riled up, and I'm like, "You guys, calm down. It's time for let's pray, okay? It's time for bed." And then I'm like, "Oh, I'm tired. I'm beat. Don't yell at them. It's okay." And to do that, and I think, man, why can't I control myself? You know, I'm just, it's because I want to go to bed too. Why can't you guys just go to bed? So, but serving, even when I'm tired and I don't feel like it, that's tough. Another thing is when I've been wronged, not seeking vindication or not seeking to be justified or not, you know, having the wrongs righted. Ooh, that's a. Lord, did you really say that? Was that you? Did you say that to me? Yeah. When somebody has wronged me, I want to make it right. I want to. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You just wait. No. It shouldn't be the way with us. I need to serve my enemies, not just my friends. Serve my enemies. Oh, look at those people that rub you the wrong way. Those people that, like, when you say it's sunny out, they say, "No, it's raining." And, you know, anything, you talk to them and, like, oh, man. Serve them? Hey, yep, serve them. How do you do that? Well, I don't want to. Why would I want to waste my time on that? Well, you need to pray for them that despitefully use you, don't you? All right. Yeah. Wow, that's hard. But you know, and then you have the kind of the flip side of it. You know, what's the deal? Remember Martha. Remember Mary and Martha, and they were serving. You know, Jesus has given us an example of service and everything. But didn't Martha get sassed because she was serving and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet? I mean, how does that all work out? You know, where's the balance there? Remember that in Luke chapter 10, right at the end of the, you know. Problem is, Mary was trying to push her conviction on her sister. This is what I'm doing, and if I'm serving the Lord, I'm serving Jesus. You need to do it too. You need to do what I'm doing. That's not always necessarily the case. Now, because there are two sides to this coin, right? I mean, you got all the guys sitting around the table or reclining around the triclinium, and you know their feet being washed. But you have the foot washer, and then you have the foot washee. There's two sides to this too. You think, wow, you know, that's it's tough on the side of you know, the foot washing side, you know, to get dirty and to get down on your knees and humble yourself and wash feet. And that's tough. But there's also the foot washee. Sometimes I think that letting my feet be washed by someone else is maybe even harder. Oh, that's tough because of my pride as well. Man, that keeps on coming up. Well, you know, pride and humility and selfishness and whatever. I want to do things for myself. I don't need any help. I know talking with and I can talk about them because they're not here. But no. With Ricky and Angela, I remember talking with Ricky, and you know his back was hurting him for a while there, and back and leg, and you know he fell on the ice there this winter, and he had a really tough time having his feet be washed, and I remember talking to him about it, you know, coming over like, hey buddy, do you need some food, you know, some meals or anything? Would that help your wife? I mean, you know, she's working part-time too, and you know, would that help? And he's like, and Angela was like, they were like, so well, just let us know. Yeah, right. No, they're not gonna let, no. So we're like, okay, well, we're bringing supper over. What would you like? Okay, we're going to bring it over at 6, all right? Is that? I mean, 5:30? Would 5:30 be better? Okay, 5:30. All right. Okay. We're bringing it over. And so I came over and brought food, and they're like, thank you. And I said, all right, listen. I said, you need to not be prideful, and you need to let people serve you. You need to let people help you. You need to let us be your brothers and sisters and help you. We want to bless you. You need to not rob our blessings from us, okay? So you need to straighten out. And that's tough. And he's like, man, he said, I know. It's so hard though. I've been able to provide for myself and do everything for myself. He said, the Lord has really been teaching me a lot through this, you know, that I need to be served too. And he said, man, that's tough. That's a hard thing. And I haven't been in a situation where I've needed that. And but we need to let each other serve. That's part of the being a body and being a family. But John continues in verse 15. Yeah, well, Jesus continues. He's speaking here. He says, if I'm your Lord and Master and I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. And you know, Jesus is the ultimate example. Remember on Sunday morning, we were in 1 Peter chapter 2. And, you know, the first part says in verse 3, if so be that you have tasted that the, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. And one of my favorite favorite passages of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each other esteem others better than themselves." Sounds a lot like what we have going on here. "Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also unto the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." He humbled himself in this particular passage in John. He humbled himself and he washed feet and he served his disciples. Didn't have to. He loved them and he wanted to serve them. Give them the example, hey, follow me, do the things that I'm doing. "But being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross." There's nothing else. What else could he have done? He washed our feet. He washed the disciples' feet. He gave himself. He gave everything. "Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father." He's given us the example. And he continues in verse 16 and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him who sent him." Jesus is the Lord of the universe, right? You know, he died for us. He couldn't give anything else. So if he's the Lord and he's the master of the whole universe, and he died for us, you know, there's nobody higher. There's nobody. It's not like, well, I'm above Jesus. You know, I mean, I know more than Jesus, and I'm better than Jesus. So so Jesus would have served me. And no. There's no other greater master. So we should be serving each other. And Jesus says in verse 17, he ends it with this: "If you know these things, happy you are, happy are ye if you do them." The theory of being a servant, isn't worth very much, but the practice of being a servant pleases God and fulfills our calling. That's, we're called to love one another. He says, if you know these things, happy are if you do them. It's not enough to just know them. I mean, you can know these things. Hey, good job, you know these things. Great. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't do them. You gotta do them. There was a cool quote that I saw from Spurgeon. It says, "If there is a position in the church where the worker will have to toil hard and get no thanks for it, take it and be pleased with it. If you can perform a service which few others will ever seek to do for themselves, or appreciate when performed by others, yet occupy it only with holy delight, covet humble work. And when you get it, be content to continue in it. There is no great rush after the lowest places, and you will rob no one by seeking them." Wow, heavy. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus says here, if you know these things, happy you are if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. And I've seen that. I've seen little glimpses of that. Far from perfect. I think of I've been going through Matthew. In my trip through the Bible, I happened to be in Matthew. And I went through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, how happy! Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Wow, sounds a lot like Jesus. Sounds a lot like a humble servant. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And just like with our kids, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that's not good for us. When he says, hey, if you know these things, that's great, but happy you are, blessed are you if you do them. And that's really where the freedom is. You know, I don't have to worry that I don't have enough time to get done what I want to do, or have, you know, have me when I get in the picture, you know, I mess things up. So I guess the Lord had been, you know, working on me in this particular passage of Scripture, and brought me here. And you know, bottom line is that, you know, I need to serve. Jesus gave me the example, and I need to quit being so stinking selfish. And I don't know. And if that you know, relates to any of you, hope that the Lord will use it. And it's probably just me. I'm probably, you know, you guys are, you know, probably pretty well got it licked, you know. And I'm stinking selfish, and there's nobody that thinks about me more than me. And I really get you know, bugged when things don't go my way. And but I know as I grow, I need to lay those things down. And it's something that I can't do in my own strength. It's not something that I have the ability to do. I have the capability of. It's something that the Holy Spirit needs to do through me. And I pray that for all of us, that the Lord's Spirit would fill us and change us and make us less like us and more like Him. So let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word, and that your word is true and it's right. And Lord, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it doesn't just cut us up physically, but spiritually, Lord, it cuts right down to the dividing of the soul and spirit. Lord, it gets us where we are, deep inside. And Lord, You know what's going on in our hearts, and you know where we are with you. And Lord, we don't want to be the same. We don't want to be the same as we are right now. We want to draw closer to you every day. And Lord, we need your help with that. Lord, we pray that you would put in us a desire for your word and a desire to be near to you, and that your spirit would speak to us. That he would come in and fill us and give us a humbleness and a humility that's not our own and not ourselves. Lord, help us to draw near to you. Lord, give us your heart. Help us to see people as you see them, and give us the ability, the strength that we don't have to serve and to be like you. Lord, we run into people every day that need to hear about you and know about you. And Lord, help us to be your examples and your witnesses. Lord, we thank you for giving us the example of humility and giving everything, Lord, and we're so grateful that you did. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would bless them and use them, draw us closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace, guys.